Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
So hello and welcome to this new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. I'm very pleased to be with you, Matthias, again.
Hi, Natalie. Also very pleased.
And even more pleased to be talking today about a platform that's having a real impact on environment. And for this, we've got a duo, that's coming from Suez, and I'm going to introduce Léo Michelier, who's the digital product owner of Organix, a platform from Suez that they will introduce. And then also Paul Beguery, who's the project manager of this platform. So welcome, Paul and Léo.
Thank you, Nathalie.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're very excited, as I said, because we're going to talk about this new platform and about the real impact on the environment that you as a company are pushing. So, can you tell us first of all a bit who you both are and what is Organix?
So, I am Léo Michelier, as you said, and I'm the digital product owner of Organix, this platform made by Suez. So, I have an engineering background. I have been working for Suez for 4 years now in both digital and sustainability solutions. And I have been working for 2 years for Organix as one of my main projects. And basically, my responsibility is to work both with the operational teams, so that's meant to say with Paul, and the development teams in order to translate the needs of the users into relevant functionalities for the web application.
Okay, and so I'm Paul Beguery. I'm the project manager of Organix. So I use the marketplace on a day-to-day use. And what can I say? Organix is the first digital marketplace that connects a producer of organic waste with more than 250 registered biogas plants. So it's based on basically a binding process. And we propose a turnkey offer because we also manage like transportation.
Great. So, can you tell us a little bit more concretely about what are the journeys or the experience on both sides that you are providing, so that we concretely see or maybe give an example so that we concretely see what the platform is doing.
Yeah, of course. For an example, I'm a food industry. I make apple juice. So I've got a plant, and every day I have like tons of apple, who is the result of the fabrication of our apple juice. And I don't know how to and what to do with these apples. And I know because of the regulation that I have to valorize it. So I can register it on Organix. In a few minutes, I can make an offer that deal would be like proposed to several biogas plants. And in a few days, you have some metanizer that can propose offers. And then Suez take care of transportation, and you can like just valorize easily and fastly your all your bio waste materials.
So when, and give maybe, so you gave a few numbers of the companies that are already registered on the platform. When did you launch? Can you give a little bit of history and maybe of why did you, did Suez go into building this platform?
Yes, of course. So if we come back to the very origin of Organix, so it was born from internal call for innovation projects from Suez in 2017. And from that, it took about a year to gather the expertise of the operational teams, talk with them about the needs of the users, build the business model, understand how other solutions could also be working, develop the functionalities with the developers, all of this. And then, so from 2018 or so, we launched the platform. And in 2021, we realized that we had accumulated enough knowledge and feedback about our users regarding the applications, that what the users liked, what could be improved, things like this. And as a result, we came up with a second version of the tool very recently in 2021, late 2021, actually. So we believe that the second version has been improving a lot the user experience, especially on the onboarding side. Maybe we can talk about this later, but this was one of the most the highlights of the second version. So that was for the history about the tool, and then for the reason why we launched Organix. Well, like you said, the world is dealing with climate change on a daily basis, and they already have a lot of visible consequences of environmental disruption, and they will be more and more visible in the future also. Actually, according to the IPCC report, we basically only have 3 years before it's too late, before we see tangible repercussion of climate change every day. So, of course, there are many ways to fight against climate change, and Suez is fighting about climate change in many ways also. But for this specific project, we thought that working toward a greener energy system and waste management was a good option. So if we focus on energy, the energy system, so for now in France, we have a goal at the national level to have more than 33% of the energy consumption coming from renewable resources. And we already have kind of this objective for 2020, it was 23%, but we couldn't reach this goal. So that really shows that we really have to focus on that kind of challenges if we want to really meet them and tackle environmental disruption. So at Suez, we saw that, but at the same time, we wanted to leverage and build on our expertise, which is waste management, or at least one of our expertise is waste management. So we believed that focusing on this subject, the biogas and waste management subject, was very relevant for us because it mixes both the waste management and the energy sector. So at the same time, really the market is growing really rapidly. The market of biogas, I mean. So it has been multiplied by the energy production of biogas in France has been multiplied by around 4 in 10 years. So that's kind of a lot. And there are more than 1,000 biogas plants already. And this figure is growing every year. So if we wanted to kind of structure the market and please all the counterparts, we really had to construct a tool that would be relevant for Suez to do that, and as a result, we built Organix to please both the producers that want to find relevant treatments for their waste, but also biogas plants that are more and more and that are more and more searching for steady sources of bio waste. So that's for the context of Organix.
Sounds very impressive. Can you also talk a little bit more about the market. So How big is this market for renewable energy, and how big is the part this kind of renewable gas is part of it?
Well, maybe Paul can add some information, but I will try. So in France today, there are more than 1,000 biogas plants. So that's the size of the market, the total market. And as I said, this will be growing and growing very exponentially to some extent in the future years. But for now, in organics, we already have more than 250 biogas plants, which as a result represent about 25% of the total share of methanizers of biogas plants. But we also have to take into account the fact that there are some very small biogas plants that might not be part of our targets. So that's for biogas plants. And for, yes?
Yeah, I can say in the other way, concerning the organic waste, organic materials, we do know we can have in France. We know that we have some around 3 to 4 billion of tons of organic materials coming from food industry plants. And on organics, what we can say is that we deal with like around 140,000 of tons of organic materials. So it's basically not a lot, but it's kind of a big market, because this is concerning the 3 to 4 billion tons concerning the food industry. But you also have another market, which is 6 to 7 billion of tons of bio waste from you and all the cities.
Yeah, because when we prepared this call, I was quite surprised to see, you know, I would have thought from the producer side, you can think of farmers and, you know, such companies. But you also mentioned ports and municipalities and insurance companies, which yes, totally surprised me. But that means that the producer market is really huge, right?
Yeah. Ports, we can explain that with like you have a big boat with cereals, for example, and it has been like it's wet or it's rotten, then you can't use it anymore in the classic food industry or for animal food. So the only way is like you can compost it and you can go to biogas plants. But we found out that methanation is you get more profit if you sell it to a biogas plant than if you compost it. And it's better because you create like renewable energy.
Yeah,
maybe we can say something about how it works, how methanation works. It's briefly a biological process that digests organic material, and organic materials is like basically also like all vegetal and animal materials. And you transform it into a gas, and this gas, once it's purified, you can generate electricity, you can generate heat, you can generate biogas and fuel. And something everybody do not really know also is that from after you create this biogas and electricity and heat, you have a result who can be used as a fertilizer, organic fertilizer. And it's used on the fields around the biogas plant, and it replaces chemicals fertilizer. So that's also all this good loop of the biogas industry.
And then, and also from my understanding, so you talked about apples. How long does it take for an apple to become energy? So is it 1 month, 2 months, 1 year?
it depends on the process of the biogas plant, but in average it's like 30 days.
Oh, like
you can
fast.
Imagine that as a biogas plant as a stomach. It's basically a stomach, a cow stomach, who has to work like every day 24 hours a day. So it has to be fed every time to be a healthy stomach. So that's one of the challenges of the biogas plant sector and industry, because it has to always, you always have to feed your plants with kind of food.
Yeah, and you talked about the challenge. So I think having the idea is one part, but starting and building up your customer base is the second part. So what was the key challenge for you to grow your customer base? So on the one hand side, of course, you developed the platform from a technical perspective, but also from a market perspective. So how do you start to onboard? Was it more like the Apple producers or more the methanizers? So how you solved the chicken egg problem, how you onboarded your customers?
Yeah, the challenge is not the same with methanizers and producers, because regarding methanizers, it's, I would say, pretty easy to onboard them into organics. Because, as I said, they're always looking for some new materials. So they agree with the concept of organics and they register like easily. Whereas in the other end, it's not the same challenge for producers, because you are in a non-very digitalized sector. And these people who have a food industry and they have this apple, they don't know what to do with it. They don't really use a digital tool to find a way to valorize it. So first of all, I would say that, as we said, we relied on Suez, and we used the forces of commercial forces of Suez. So we have the team of organics, but we rely on different commercial teams of Suez that help organics to be known for producers. And then you have the tool part. Maybe Leo, you can talk about how we worked on.
So it was kind of an unfair advantage you could use, right? So your partnership or your origin in Suez, you could leverage the existing relationships with the customers, and you can, use them to easier onboard them and convince them to use organics.
Yeah, that's clearly a force we used. And so that's for the commercial part. And then I think it's interesting to talk about the tool, how we realized that it's easy to digitalize this that's biogas plants part of our activity, and how we realized we have to simplify things regarding to the digitalization of our producer.
Yeah, that was kind of the objective of the version 2 that I was mentioning before. So during the version 1, we did not solve the chicken egg issue that you were mentioning. And as a result, we realized that the producers really struggled to onboard the platform, because we built at the very beginning the platform as a classic marketplace platform, and as a result, the onboarding system of the producers was maybe not suited for people that are really not used to digital tools. And as a result, when you're a producer, you want to push an offer to organics, because there are a lot of regulation constraints, you have to fill up many fields. And this process of filling up many fields was
complicated.
Was complicated, yes, for the producers that basically all gave up. And so we transformed the platform in the second version to have to guide the producers and every step to fill up the fields that really are compulsory to be filled. And we let the other field to be non-compulsory, so that we can engage a dialogue between the back office and the tool also. So we have a human layer before the tool.
And we had to add a human layer,
yeah,
to be very, very reactive, because we clearly say on the platform that we will call you to complete this other information we need to propose your offer to biogas plants.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
Yeah, I find that really interesting what you just said on two parts particularly. First, you said we've initially built it like a classic marketplace. This is, to me, we're seeing this a lot. People, because the marketplace is the type of platforms that we all know and use in B2C particularly. So it seems like the easiest, but it's absolutely not the easiest. And the second element that then you put forward in version two is that to facilitate the onboarding, so the customer journey on the producer side, the easy onboarding being absolutely key for the network effects, right? You added a human layer. Again, it's a false expectation that a digital platform is digital only. And sometimes you have to build in human or maybe infrastructure layers into the value stack of your platform, and that makes the onboarding easier, the copying harder, and the value that is brought higher also. So that's very interesting from a technical point of view, from a platform business modeling.
Sometimes we want to automate everything because we think that this, like, more automation is associated with best efficiency, but in specific sectors, especially in non really digital one, that's not the case, and we have to build a custom journey for our customers to be onboarded correctly.
Exactly, and maybe at some point in a few years or months, I don't know, you will maybe reduce that layer, but I think that's
the goal. That's clearly the objective. Yeah. But there's also another challenge is that, like, waste management sector, we have a lot of regulation, so we have to fill up a lot of technical information. And the one who is behind his computer and filling the form for creating an offer, he maybe doesn't know all the information. So you have some transport information, you have some regulation information, you have some characteristic of your bio-waste information, like physically and biological information.
And documents also.
And at the beginning, we had all this information, like we were somehow saying, like, you work and we receive your offer and we propose it to the biogas plants, and now we are more saying that you feel what you have, and then we will work together to know what we still need to know to propose your offer.
Yeah.
Yes, you also mentioned regulation plays a part. I think, hey, this is waste. you throw it away. So why is there a regulated market? Why is there a lot of regulation, maybe, and regulation complexity? For me, it's just waste.
Yeah, but it's just waste. But for example, if you have some animal parts, it will be very different. If you have like some vegetal waste, if you have some animal waste, then, as I said, we go to the biogas plants, you make gas, but then you have the what we call digesta, the organic fertilizer, like you put it in the ground again, and in this ground you will grow like some new cereals or something else. So because of that, it has to be like restricted, because your biogas plant will be different if you can receive like animal waste or only vegetal waste. This is kind of the main reason it's strictly regulated.
So you exactly need to know what it is, what is the material, what is the organic and so on, what it consists of. And then, okay.
Yeah, and also because we need a lot of information, because biogas plants treat waste, but it's a plant, like it's technical, and you have a lot of different chemicals and physical information you have to know if you want your industry to work well and to create like good biogas.
And you also say that so the organics is now covering whole France, or are there any other markets beside France already onboarded?
So as for now, we are only dealing with the France sector, because we are kind of a new product already. We haven't, like we said at the beginning, reached the entire possible market in France. So that our objective in the first place is to deal with this. And then in the midterm, maybe we will go for other foreign markets. And it's totally possible. But like we just mentioned, there are many regulations, and those regulations can be moving from a country to another. And this adds another challenge, another difficulty layer that we will have to deal with. So although we're the first marketplace in France, I think for the moment we have to build on this leverage.
Yeah, because you will have regulations that are different within the different countries, but also, from what I understand, exporting or importing waste also has particular regulations. So it's not like. Are you saying that France is very regulated?
Yeah.
So.
Same with other countries.
Yeah. But maybe an easier market than Germany.
Really?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
Coming to your business model. It sounds really interesting, because you make money out of waste. So how does it really work with organics? How do you also have a viable business model?
Yeah. So first of all, the registration on the tool is totally free for both producers and biogas plants. There is no paid subscription or anything like this. And our business model is based on the transactions that we made. So every time a product is bought by a biogas producer, we take a small fee on this, on the price of the waste. And then if the biogas plants want us to take care about the transportation, which is very often the case, we also take a certain percentage on the transportation price. So that make up to our business model. That's the way we deal with it.
So it's basically transaction-based plus adding value-adding services like coordination of transport. So you have also a hybrid model.
Yeah.
You're covering. So I'm looking at this from a more technical perspective about platform business modeling. So when a platform creates value on four levels, the first one is the impact. So clearly you are able to measure the impact and the positive impact on sustainability and recycling. The second one is the marketplace. So you have that element of marketplace. The third layer is the intelligence and the data. And the fourth layer is the infrastructure. So for the infrastructure, it can be, for example, human or digital infrastructure, or even the transportation offering that you have. Just back to the layer of data and intelligence, is there anything that you have or that is planned maybe on this level? So additional services based on data or using data collected by the platform to improve the marketplace services, for example, or, you know.
Yeah, so we are, first of all, really happy that you mentioned our impact on the environment and on circular economy, because that's one of our main goal. But yes, regarding data management, I think we have we could be working on something. That's if I want to explain this, I need to first of all explain the fact that we are. We have an algorithm that allows us to calculate the cost of transportation in an automatic way based on several parameters, like, of course, location of both departure and the destination, the kind of transportation that will be used, the kind of waste that is transported, et cetera, et cetera. So that's something that is already using some data, but it's not using machine learning or a thing like this. But we are accumulating data at each transaction. So I think in the future, but this is kind of a midterm improvement, we could be using those transactions data in order to improve the accuracy of our model and maybe build up on machine learning automatisms or things like this, but this is kind of a midterm goal.
Yeah, and what I could add is that we, on a manual way, we collect data and information about the prices and physical information of the materials, and then as we said, we have on the phone the producer, and because it's a new market, because biogas plant is a new market, sometimes they do not know how they can sell or how much they can sell the materials, and we have we can technically advise them on the prices they can put and they can receive from the materials. And for the moment, it's just knowing in the back office heads. But after that, as you say, Leo, maybe we can use all this information. For example, we could imagine that as we can see on Airbnb or in BlaBlaCar, you can recommend the price from a bio-waste. It could be very interesting. Regarding the information you have, we can recommend prices.
I think Back Market do this. I think they have an algorithm for recommending the prices depending on the availability of the products and the state of the product. Are they in good state or not good state of reconditioned products? But actually, when I'm looking at the platform value layers, a bit like Back Market, you're leveraging the four layers. Of course, there's always some improvement and development on each layer, but that makes the value of the platform much greater. And like I said, also it makes it much more difficult to copy. So it's very very interesting. And it also from a business modeling perspective, it makes it adds some elements of monetization. Also, like you mentioned, the transportation, for example. I think talking about the value proposition, the unique value proposition of organics. You mentioned earlier that you had some partnerships in place that you have set up to maybe feed that producer side. Can you give us some examples of partnerships that you have built?
Yeah, I would say that we worked with like big food industries in like beverage or milk industry or cereal transformation industries, as well as small cooperatives, farmers.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages of, I think, of organics, is that we are dealing with both very big companies and also rather smaller actors. So we are covering the entire sector, both from a size perspective, but also from a location perspective, because they can be located everywhere in France.
Yeah, the advantage of a platform is the enabling or looking at the long tail of the market. So all the small producers, the small consumers, and connecting them in a highly efficient way. And you said you already kind of cover about 25% of the market, which is really very impressive. So looking at into the future, so what is your kind of a your vision you have in mind, your kind of a North Star, a narrative you're trying to follow? What do you want to achieve in the next years?
I think if we're talking about short terms, we really want for the moment to still grow our user base and keep increasing the number of transactions on the platform. That is the short-term vision.
Yeah. And then, well, on the maybe a little bit long-term vision, we can build up on the expertise of Suez regarding the technology to kind of mix what we have already done with other projects and incorporate this technology into organics. And I think it can be relevant in many aspects, but one of them is like because like the organic waste sector is very regulated. The quality of the products we are managing should be controlled in a very efficient way. So it could be very interesting to integrate traceability mechanisms to organics. So when we talk about traceability, I think we can think about the benefits of blockchain technology and, to secure data and guarantee that what's happening on the value chain is really happening to some extent. And at Suez, we have already been building a solution which is called Circular Chain, which is dealing with notifying all the data in the blockchain for other. Well, for the moment, we are not dealing with biogas especially, but we're dealing with agricultural byproducts such as sludge or things like this. So I think we could leverage on this.
And other plans, like maybe going to Germany to say, okay, we can maybe.
Yes. You're keen.
We definitely need this. I don't know if there's already a solution like this available in Germany. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. Why not duplicating the model to other countries? So we talked about cross-border, but you said the cross-border exchange of waste is also highly regulated, maybe too complicated, but why not using the same base you have, like the platform you developed in France, and copy it, let's say copy in a simple set, but hard to achieve, but move it also to Germany and other countries.
Wow. Yeah. No, but really, there could be a solution, because when we built organics in the first place, our objective was also to build up, like I said, on the expertise of Suez. And the expertise of Suez regarding biogas treatment in France is especially important. But we are also dealing with this kind of market in other countries with Suez overall. So yes, we could indeed work in other countries. And that's a mid long term goal, I'd say.
So you already have the demand from the yeah, German people, apparently.
and maybe a secret question here, but we are among us, nobody's really listening. So how much do you say is your success is depending on Suez? So could you have achieved this by yourself also, or do you think no, without Suez it wouldn't be that of a success?
I think we depend on Suez, like most of all we depend on Suez, because we, as we said at the beginning, we at the beginning depended on the commercial forces of Suez. And then we also rely for transportation on the many contacts in the transportation activity to have like the best prices for transportation. And also because, I don't know, economically, we are supported also by Suez at the beginning, because as we said, we are the first marketplace, and it's a digitalized this intersection with the waste management sector, and biogas sector is pretty much a new thing. So yeah, Suez is an environmental actor, and it really helps us to achieve our objectives.
Yeah, and we also benefit from the image of Suez for our clients. I think this is one of also one of our advantages besides technological and expertise advantages. But to answer your question, I think we can look also at the competitors. There are other digital tools that are not doing the same thing as us, but are evolving in the same sector. And we can see that they're not focused on all kinds of users and products like we are. They're not necessarily covering the same level of territory. Their reach is also, I think, less important, and those digital tools, they're not supported by another big companies like Suez. So I think by comparing, we can say that working with Suez definitely helped us at least to be more visible and reach a very big market very rapidly, I think.
Yeah, and also I guess you're able to add, for example, the transportation very quickly, yeah, because it's your already part of your offering. So I think Matthias knows that I always mention the trust element as being key for platforms, and I think obviously this is something that the image of Suez is bringing. And so I'm very happy. I think we're going to have soon to conclude, but I'm very happy that we've invited you, because I think it's a great example. We always say that platforms are a perfect business model for embracing, for addressing our current society challenges, like sustainability or other society challenges that are systemic challenges, and platforms are systemic business models. And this is a perfect example of how you are addressing or redesigning or reinventing or even inventing a value chain or structuring a value chain to bring value and bring impact and sustainability. So this is a very perfect example.
Maybe we also do this podcast so that others can learn. So based on your journey you have gone through so far, what would be one or two key advices you would like to give to other kind of platforms also approaching the platform economy, but also sustainability, circular economy, and so on? So what would be your key learnings from the journey so far?
I would say, like, we can simply say that make this marketplace platform, this digital tool, easy for your users and clients. It can be a simple advice, but I think it's really true. Really listening to the needs of your users and adapt your tool to it, especially if you're in a not digital native users.
Making things easy is hard, right?
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much to both of you. It's been great. Hopefully we can have you again for another podcast in about a few months or a year or so to see how you progressed, how you went into Germany.
Yes.
And but for this time, thank you very much. It's been great.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining.
Thank you.
And all the good best for you and your journey with Organics.
Likewise.
Thank you, Matthias.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Natalie.
Bye.